Amen. All right. Let's see if we can get started here today. I want to welcome everybody to the master's class here at Summit Church. And we are in the book of Proverbs. And we're going to be talking today on a subject that reoccurs throughout the book of Proverbs. It is on the sin of pride. And I've titled the lesson, The Danger of Pride. Now, in fact, we had a pair of lessons on pride about 5 months ago, and I know you guys remember every word I said verbatim from 5 months ago, right? I can't remember what I taught on last week, so, you know, I'm sure that's not true, but that's okay. Now, I want you to remember, though, something that we have said about the importance of anything that God repeatedly talks about in the Bible. If God repeats a topic, He really wants us to pay attention to it, right? Amen? Now, when God talks about pride or being proud, He does it 97 times in the Bible. 97 times. So, if saying something a couple of times is important, something that He says 97 times ought to get your attention. It is something that He really wants us to understand what He thinks about the sin of pride. So, our focus verse is in Proverbs 16:18, and it is one that is familiar to most people. Even if you didn't know it was coming from the Bible, people have heard this verse, and because you've probably heard the saying, pride goes before the fall, right? And you may have thought that was some, you know, just saying that's out there. But this verse is where that saying comes from. Verse 16:18 of the book of Proverbs says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Now, if you read all different kinds of translations, they have a little bit different version of that, but it's generally something about pride goes before destruction, and pride or a high spirit goes before a fall. But today I want to show you 5 ways that pride can destroy your life. 5 ways that pride can destroy your life. Let me say that pride is a dangerous and a deceitful sin that's doing more damage in homes and in hearts and in lives than any of us may dare to dream. And every one of us, and certainly the one who is sitting before you here teaching this class, struggles with pride. Pride, more than any other sin, is holding back revival in our land and in our home and in our church. Pride, more than any other sin, is destroying homes and ruining happiness and joy in the home. Pride, more than any other sin, is undermining the foundation of America, this great country that we love. And pride, more than any other sin, is causing Christians, born-again people, to live lives of defeat. Pride, more than any other sin, is populating and filling up the place that we call hell. It's a dangerous, dangerous sin. But not only is pride a dangerous sin, it is a deceitful sin. Now, so many people do not understand that they have pride or what pride is doing to them. You know, there's at least a benefit or a sense of bliss, if you will, at least of being a drunkard or a thief, as bad as those two things are. Because at least a drunkard knows that he's a drunkard. And at least a thief knows that he's a thief. But the proud person says, well, if I had any sin, I'd confess it. He doesn't admit his problem. His pride, that is his problem, keeps him from admitting that he even has a problem. You know, I heard a story about a Sunday school teacher who was teaching a lesson in the Bible about the publican and the Pharisee. Remember the story about the publican and the Pharisee? Well, first, she reads to the class about how the Pharisee prayed, and it's in Luke chapter 18, verses 11 through 12. And it says, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Notice it says, with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, and I give tithes of all that I possess. And then she reads to the class about how the publican prayed. And it's in verse 13. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, the Sunday school teacher was teaching this lesson, and she had done a wonderful job up to this point. But when she was finished, she just beamed and smiled and looked out at the students of her class and said, and children, aren't we grateful that we aren't like that old Pharisee? Now, you see, she was proud of her humility. It's a very dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing. Now, when we're talking about pride, and we want to understand why God hates it so, the first thing we need to understand is what pride is not. Because a lot of times in language, you know, we say things like, you know, I'm proud of you or whatever, and that's not necessarily always pride. So, pride is not having a good self-image. Now, don't get the idea that if you have a good self-image of yourself, that you are guilty of being proud. Not so. I want to tell you something. In Jesus, you are somebody. You are somebody. Jesus is not ashamed to call you his brothers and sisters. And that means we're next of kin to the Holy Trinity. Now you say, well, Keith, that's just megalomania. I can even say that word, megalomania, right? No, that's biblical truth. I hear people talking all the time about the fact that they're just sinners saved by grace. And while that's technically true, that's not the biblical description of you. The Bible describes the saved person as the righteousness in God in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. And then look at this last phrase, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's how the Bible describes you. You are somebody. Now, that's not pride. That's just a biblical fact. Jesus knew who he was. He knew that he was come from God and went to God. That was his self-image. Yet Jesus was also the epitome of humility. John 13, 3 through 5 says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. And after that, he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. So there he was, the Lord of glory, washing disciples' feet. Jesus was not a proud man. He said, I am meek and lowly of heart. And Jesus was washing the smelly feet of fishermen. And you think that people have smelly feet. Let me tell you, fishermen had smelly feet. All right, they were walking in dead fish all the time, okay? Now, here he was washing smelly feet of fishermen, and yet Jesus knew that he came from God and was going to God. Jesus knew who he was, so thinking rightfully of yourself is not pride. It's not pride. A good self-image is not pride. All right, also, pride is not gratefulness for a job well done. Have you ever described yourself as someone who takes pride in your work? Yeah, well, that's also not the kind of pride that the Bible is talking about. If you're sweeping the floor, then you ought to sweep out the corners also, right? Do a good job when you're doing it. Now, I like to watch sports. Now, I don't get to watch near as much as I used to because I yanked the cable and told them I didn't want to pay anymore. And so you got to have cable to watch half a dozen, TV provider to watch sports. So I don't get to watch near as much as I do. But I still like to watch talented athletes playing a game. You know, there are times after a game when the coach would tell the players, I'm proud of you. I'm grateful for what you did, for the hard work that you put in. Now, that's also not the kind of pride that we're talking about here today. When a job is well done and you get recognition, or when you're grateful for the grades that your grandchild makes, and so forth, that's not what we're talking about when we're talking about the sin of pride. So what is pride? Keith, if those things aren't pride, so what is the pride that you're talking about? What is this thing that the Bible says goes before destruction? Well, I'm going to give you five things that are going to sum it up before we even get into the heart of the lesson. I'm still in the introduction here, guys. So I'm going to give you five things that will just sum up what pride is. First, pride is an attitude of independence from God. Pride is when you say, God, I don't need you. Stay out of my life. I can handle it myself. Woo! Man, let me tell you what, if I hear somebody say that, I want to take three steps back because the lightning's getting ready to strike. So it is a spirit of independence from God. You say, well, I've never said anything like that. Okay, that's real good. I'm real glad you haven't. But let me ask you a question. Do you pray regularly? And you say, well, yeah, but I don't pray as much as I ought to. That sound familiar? I don't pray as much as I ought to. Do you know why you don't pray as much as you ought to? Your prayerlessness is not your great problem. Your great problem is that you don't pray as often as you should because you don't feel the need to. You say, well, I can handle it. Everything's going fine. I only need to pray to God when things are going bad. And boy, I tell you, when things are going bad, we're on our knees praying, aren't we? But everything's going okay, Keith. I don't need to pray all the time. Our prayerlessness, even in the good times, is really a spirit of independence from God. And if you're wrestling with prayerlessness, may I tell you that what you're really wrestling with is pride. Pride is a spirit of independence from God. I'm not hearing any amens on that. I must be stepping on somebody's toes here, okay? All right, so not only is pride a spirit of independence from God, but pride is also a spirit of ungratefulness to God. When God has so blessed us, now we have so many things, and we act like we deserve it, that we've earned it, that it's ours. Well, Paul asked a penetrating question in 1 Corinthians 4, 7. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory? As if thou hast not received it. So, in other words, what do you have that you have not received from God? You say, well, I worked for that. I worked really hard. Well, who gave you the ingenuity to work? Who gave you the strength? Who gave you the energy? Who gave you all of that? Did you create that? No, you don't have one blessed thing that you have not received. Now say amen. Amen. Come on now. Be saying amen here, right? You know that that's true. Now the next thing that pride is pride is esteeming yourself better than other people. Better than other people. Do you think that because you've achieved certain things, or have certain things, that you're better than somebody else? No, pride esteems oneself as being better than others. A proud person accepts praise for things over which he or she has no control, like beauty and talent and abilities. Think again of those athletes that we talked about a little earlier. You know, you could accept praise if you worked hard and practiced well, but you can't accept praise for that natural dexterity that you have, or your height, or your speed. Those are gifts of God. And when you begin to accept praise for things over which you have no control, that's pride. That is pride. Now, the fourth thing that pride is, pride will not admit mistakes. Ooh, I'm going to get somebody here today. Let me ask you a question. Are you married to someone who will never admit a mistake? Ah, there's some heads going nodding yes when they're sitting behind their wives and they can't see them. Yeah, no, yeah. No, I didn't say it was him. I didn't say one thing. I am, aren't I? Yeah. It's fun. So, do you know someone who won't admit that they've made a mistake? Someone who always has an excuse, always an alibi, an intent to justify themselves. If you cannot admit that you made a mistake, then that is pride. When there's a disagreement, pride says, well, okay, I can just get along without you. I don't have to have you around. You ever feel that way towards somebody else? That is pride. Pride refuses to take counsel and to learn from other people. Pride has an ungrateful spirit for all that God has done. Now, the fifth thing that pride is, pride shows itself in a competition with other people. I love this thing from C.S. Lewis because pride does not want more. Pride wants more than somebody else has. And C.S. Lewis has said this, pride gets no pleasure out of having something, only out of having more of it than other men. So we say that people are proud of being rich or clever or good looking, but they're not. They are proud of being richer or more clever or better looking than others. It is the comparison that makes you proud. The pleasure of being above the rest. I just love that. What pride does in our lives. I tell you what, that's one of those things I got to smack myself every once in a while when I get to thinking, Keith, you're a great teacher, or Keith, you got so many people following you on Facebook, or you got so many followers on your website. Just smack me, you know, when I say something like that, because God has given me every one of those things and those abilities. I've got nothing to be proud about. So, then let's talk about what pride does in our lives. Okay, so we've talked about what pride is. And we've talked about what pride is not, and we've also talked about how it manifests itself in our lives. So now, I want to get into the heart of the lesson, and I want to give you five things that pride will do to ruin and devastate your life. I'm being so unorthodox today, I've got 5 points here to make, right? Yeah, I am really unorthodox. I mean, I'm really getting out there, yeah. Yeah, boy. All right, so the first thing is pride defies God. Pride defies God. Pride is arrogance against Almighty God. Proverbs 6:16 through 17 says, these 6 things doth the Lord hate. Yea, 7 are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. You know, there used to be a thing on the radio called the hit parade. You guys remember that? The hit parade? Well, this is God's hate parade, all right? God has 7 things that he hates. And do you know who's leading the hate parade? Pride. Pride is the very first thing on that list. Listen to what it says. These 6 things doth the Lord hate, yet 7 are an abomination unto him. And number 1 in the verse 17 is this, a proud look. Now, the Bible says that God hates it. He detests it. Proverbs 16:5 says, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. God hates pride. Pride is abominable to Almighty God. Why? Because pride is in direct defiance of Almighty God. Pride defies God. Now, pride came into the human race through the devil, but it was pride that made the devil the devil. Satan's heart was lifted up with pride, and it was pride that made Lucifer the son of the morning, Satan the father of the night. When he was lifted up with pride, he said, I will be like the Most High. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. And what he was doing at that time was defying Almighty God. Now, God hates the pride of sin so much because it made the devil the devil, and it ruined the human race. When Satan came to Eve and said, eat of that fruit, What do you think the temptation was? To taste a piece of fruit? Not a chance. Now the garden was filled with fruit. The temptation was to be like God. Satan says, you'll be like God. That is, Satan is really saying you can exalt yourself above God. You don't have to bow to God. You can be independent of God. That's what the temptation was. It was pride that made the devil the devil. It was pride that ruined the human race. And therefore, when you read all the headlines in our news media, you can say this, that all rebellion, all sin, all sorrow, all suffering, all of it, you can say pride did this. Pride did all of this. That's why God hates the sin of pride. Now, because God hates the sin of pride, when there's pride in your heart or in my heart, do you know what we do? We make an adversary out of God. Here's the scripture, 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of ye be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Now notice what that last sentence says. God resisteth the proud. Now notice that it doesn't say that God merely fails to help the man who is proud. He's not just withholding his help. No, it says that God becomes the adversary of the man who is proud. God resisteth, actively does something, resisteth the proud. Why? Because pride defies Almighty God. Pride says, God, I don't need you. I can do it myself. I will be my own God. Pride defies God. That's the first danger. Now, here's the second danger of pride. Not only does pride defy God, but pride defiles man. Verse 5 in chapter 16 again. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished. So look again at that first sentence. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination unto the Lord. So where is that pride found? In the heart. Proverbs 21:4 says, a high look and a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin. Do you know that you can sin by the way you look? A proud look. Now that's why it says a high look. There we sit in church, all heady, high-minded, unbent, unbroken, and arrogant. We even swagger a little bit, right? We sin by the confidence we show as we sit in our seat in the worship service that we are more religious, more pious, more dedicated than others, and it shows on our face. Our clothes might be a little bit nicer than the next person. My goodness, I can't believe that girl's wearing those clothes that she's wearing. Or I can't believe that guy's wearing those clothes that he's wearing into this church. Have you ever thought that in your head? Yeah, I'm glad that we don't have a dress code in this church. But when you have, you notice I picked today when I'm wearing a suit coat instead of jeans, right? Yeah. I knew what I was going to be saying today, right? But when you compare yourself to others, you're sinning with the sin of pride. Now, then look at the last half of that verse. The plowing of the wicked is sin. And you might ask, well, Brother Keith, does that mean that when a farmer plows his field that he's sinning? No. Well, let me tell you though when he does sin. When a farmer plows his field, when he puts the plow into God's fertile earth, when he is dependent upon God to give him the rain and the sunshine, when he's dependent upon God to germinate that very seed, and he plows his field and he does not give God the glory, he is sinning even when he plows that field. Why? Because he feels that he can do it by himself. So when that person is sitting in the church service full of confidence in his own righteousness, and when that farmer takes credit for the bounty of his harvest, and ignores God, where does that pride come from? Where does that pride come from? The Bible says a proud heart. Now, that pride is down in your heart. Pride is part of man's sin nature. It's born in our heart. Mark 7, 21 through 23 says, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, and an evil eye, blasphemy," and there it is, "pride and foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." So where does that pride come from? Pride comes from the heart, and it defiles man. Pride defies God, and pride defiles man. You have something in you that defiles you. Yeah, I've got it in me. You've got it in you. And it's in you. It's born into the human heart. It's part of our sin nature. Now, this is an illustration that I've heard often when a preacher is talking about pride, which gives me license to use it anytime I want to, right? I can use it over and over again because I've heard it 100 times from other preachers, right? So, but anyway, when you see an apple with a wormhole in it, that does not necessarily mean that there's a worm in the apple. The hole was not put there to let the worm in. The hole is there to show that the worm came out. The worm was in the apple. He did not bore into the apple. He bore out of the apple. That worm, the egg and the larvae, was laid in the blossom. And it was instilled inside the apple. It just simply comes out from the heart of the apple. I wouldn't encourage you just to bite into an apple with a hole in it just to prove the point, but you could. I mean, you know. But that's what that means, is that it came out of the apple. So the pride that's in our hearts, you know, sometimes a worm might get hungry and won't go back in. Yeah. But, you know, anyway. Okay. I'm the only one that thinks I'm funny. So. So the pride that's in our heart and in our lives is that which is already there on the inside. And it just simply comes out. You know, learn this about pride. Pride defies God. Pride defiles man. And we have something in us that has defiled us. And we need to do something about it. What fools are we if we allow pride to continue to have a headquarters, a foothold in our heart? Now, here's the third thing that pride does. Pride defies God, pride defiles man, and then pride divides society. It divides society. Do you know why we have so much strife and hatred and war? And do you know why we can't get along with one another? Proverbs 13:10 says, "Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom." I want to tell you, this is one of the greatest verses in all of the Bible. I've got it highlighted in my Bible. You want to know why? Look at it. Only by pride cometh contention. You know what that means? It means there can be no strife apart from pride. You see, pride puts man out of fellowship with God. And when man is out of fellowship with God, he's out of rest with himself. And he cannot have fellowship with his brother or with his sister. Is there dissension in your home? Any arguments in your home? I can tell you without a stutter, without a stammer, without a scintilla of doubt. If there is, it is because pride is in your home. There's never been an argument that was not caused by pride. There's never been a war that was not caused by pride. There's never been a divorce that was not caused by pride. There's never been a church fuss or a church split that was not caused by pride. You say, "Well, Brother Keith, are you certain?" Absolutely, I'm certain. Look at what this verse says. The Bible tells me I'm certain. Only by pride cometh contention. Only. It doesn't say sometimes. It says only by pride cometh contention. Only by pride. So pride defies God, pride defiles man, and pride divides society. Look again. Let me give you another verse. Proverbs 28:25 says, "He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat." Look at that first phrase. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. Now, this is the reason that we have so much divorce, because people are proud. And you know, most of us want to be the king or the queen in our own little kingdom. Pride defies God. Pride defiles man. So when pride defies God and defiles man, ego is on the throne where Christ ought to be on the throne. Let's suppose a boy and a girl are going to get married. And let's call that boy James and the girl Mary. So we have King James and Queen Mary. And both of them are on the throne of their own lives. Ego is on the throne. James is on the throne of his life. Mary is on the throne of her life. And they both move into an apartment. And after a while, a war begins between these two kingdoms. Why? Because they are both of them filled with pride. And only by pride comes contention, right? It is ego against ego. There are no problems too big to solve. There are just people too small to solve them. And rather than both of them prayerfully attacking the problem, they attack one another. Because ego and pride can never admit that it's wrong. It can never say, "I'm sorry, I was wrong." And so because you have ego against ego, and before long there's a divorce. And why? Because Jesus said, "A house divided against itself cannot stand." There's one king on this throne, and there's another king on that throne in this family. And what is the problem? It's ego. And another word for ego is pride. Now, suppose that King James abdicates the throne and puts Christ on the throne of his life. And suppose that Queen Mary puts Christ on the throne of her life. Then there's one king over both thrones. And the Jesus in Mary is not going to fight with the Jesus in James. And the Jesus in James is not going to fight with the Jesus in Mary, right? When pride and ego are dethroned and Christ is enthroned, then there's harmony in the home. Only by pride cometh dissension. It is pride that stirs up strife, whether it's in a church, whether it's in our country, whether it's in the world. Wherever it is, pride divides society. When self is on the throne, Christ is on the cross. When self is on the cross, Christ is on the throne. When self is on the throne, there is division and pride. When Christ is on the throne, there is harmony and peace. You put Christ on the throne of both hearts, and he'll slay the ego. He will banish the hostility. And Jesus will make your home a Christ-filled, happy home. Now you see, I'm even giving you marriage counseling here for free, right? For free. I'm not even charging you for something like that. So, now here's the fourth thing that pride does. Not only does pride divide society and bring war and strife, but pride dishonors life. You know, the irony about pride is that pride says to the man, "You need to be lifted up. You need to be exalted. You need to be somebody. And you know what? I can make you somebody." But what pride does is destroy honor rather than bring honor. Pride dishonors life. Proverbs 11, verse 2 says, "When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom." Now, the pride man, he wants honor and glory and praise. But the very thing that brings honor and glory and praise is not pride. Pride is what drives him to seek it, but humility is what brings honor and glory. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. Chapter 15, verse 33 says, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." Do you want to be honored? Then don't be proud, because the very thing that pride seeks is what it loses. Chapter 18, verse 12 says, "Before destruction in the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility." before honor is humility. God just keeps on saying that, you know? Chapter 29, verse 23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. A proud man wants the admiration of other people. He wants to be exalted above other people. But the sad thing is, the very thing he wants, he does not gain. Rather than their admiration, he gains their contempt. Now, what did Jesus teach? Jesus taught that the way up is down and the way down is up. He said, he that humbles himself shall be exalted, and he that exalts himself will be abased. Philippians 2, 5 through 11 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now listen, when you follow Jesus Christ in genuine humility, rather than Satan and in his arrogancy, you're going to be given, in the days to come, a greater position than Satan had before he fell. Ooh, did I just say that? Did I just say that? You might ask, are you sure about that? I am. For the Bible says we will judge angels in 1 Corinthians 6:3. Satan is a fallen angel. We will judge angels. The very thing that people want, they lose. Pride dishonors life. Now, let me tell you another little story. I'm getting close to the end, so I'm going to tell you one more little story. You got to have your head on this one, okay? You got to pay attention, because you know it might not be funny if you're not paying attention, all right? So, once there was a frog in the cold mud of Minnesota, and he saw some Canadian geese. And he said, where are you guys going? And he said, we're going south for the winter. And the frog said, well, I want to go with you. He said, well, you don't have any wings. How can you go with us? He said, but I have an idea. He said, let's take a twig, and this goose will put a twig in his beak, and this goose will put a twig in his beak, and I'll take it in my mouth and grab that twig and hold on, and you can fly me south. All right, get the image? All right. They said, well, do you think that'll work? Said, well, let's give it a try. So one big Canadian goose goes over here and gets a big twig, and another big Canadian goose goes over here with the twig between them, and that frog gets a hold of it with his mouth, and they start flying south. And then somewhere over Indiana, a farmer looked up and saw two geese with a stick and a frog. He said, would you look at that? That's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. I wonder whose idea that was. And the frog said, mine. Pride dishonors life. So that was funny, huh? Okay, all right, good. I'll try to remember that one, all right. Now, here's the final thing that pride does. Pride destroys souls. Chapter 16, verses 18 through 19. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. And 18:12 says, before destruction the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Now, with all these verses, what is it telling us? It's telling us that pride is a destructive force. It will destroy souls. It will bring ruin. Pride brings ruin to the nation. The reason that we don't have revival in America is because America has not humbled herself before God. God says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and I will hear from heaven. Pride brings national ruin. Pride brings domestic ruin. Pride has turned homes into battlegrounds, It brings financial ruin. Many of us are in economic difficulty because we're trying to keep up with our neighbors, buying things that we can't afford. It's really rooted in pride. Pride brings emotional ruin. So many people have become a slave to somebody else's opinion because Madison Avenue has told us that we've got to do this or be this or look this way. Pride brings spiritual ruin. Some of you will never be used mightily of God. Listen very carefully to me. It is possible for you to be too big for God to use, but never too small. Never too small. Pride brings eternal ruin. Now, remember the story I told you earlier about the Sunday school teacher talking about two people who went to the temple to pray. One was a publican and the other was a Pharisee. Now, the publicans in that day were kind of like the IRS. They were the tax collectors, and they were usually Jews, and they were very crooked. And besides that, the Jews hated them because they worked for Rome, and Israel had been occupied by the Roman government and Roman law, and so to say a publican in that day was a word of condemnation and scorn. And so this publican went to pray, and a Pharisee went along with him. I don't think they were together. They just happened to be in the temple there. Now, the Pharisee, they were the religious of the religious. Oh, man, I'm here to tell you, they were the religious of the religious. A Pharisee wouldn't even eat an egg that was laid on Saturday. I'm serious. If a mosquito were biting that Pharisee on Saturday, he wouldn't even slap at it because you could not go hunting on the Sabbath. That's true. That's true. They couldn't even move a chair, drag it across the dirt, because that would be plowing fields. Okay? So, if he got a tack in his shoe, he would always pull it out before Sunday, lest he be accused of carrying a burden on the Sabbath. So religious were these Pharisees. And this Pharisee is praying. He's saying, Father God, and the Bible says, and by the way, he says he prayed by himself. I pointed that out earlier. You know what that is? That means that God's not listening to his prayer at all. He's praying to himself. And he said, God, I thank you. I'm not like other men are. And I fast, and I do this, and I tithe, and I, and so forth. And then he said, and I especially thank you that I'm not like this publican over here, right? And then the Bible says that when the publican prayed, he smote himself upon the breast, would not even lift his eyes to heaven. And he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And actually, what he really said is, God, be merciful to me, the center sinner. He saw him as the chief of sinners. You know what Jesus said about these two men who prayed? He said, two men went to church that day. One went home dignified. The other went home justified, in Luke chapter 18, verse 14. And everybody in this building is going to go home today one of those two ways, dignified or justified. Do you know why that Pharisee was so proud? Do you know why he prayed that way? He was comparing himself to other people. He said, Lord, I thank you, I'm not like others, even as this publican. Listen. If you want to compare yourself to someone, I dare you to compare yourself to Jesus Christ. You see, what is sin? Sin is coming short of the glory of God. Sin is not coming short of the glory of some other man. Compare yourself with God. When Isaiah saw the Lord, he said, woe is me. When Job saw the Lord, he said, I abhor myself. When Peter saw the Lord, he said, depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. And when Daniel saw the Lord, he said, my comeliness is turned into corruption. Pride is a dangerous sin. It's a deceitful sin. Don't let pride have a headquarters in your heart. Let the Holy Spirit of God be the president of your heart and of your life. Amen? Amen. Amen.